Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. My voice is back. If you listened to last week's show, I sounded a little hoarse. At the bare minimum. That's what a week in Vegas will do to you. And, you know, it was a ball. We had a blast at the DEMA show last week, the Diamond Equipment Marketing Association trade show in Las Vegas. Was there probably about 5 days too many. But it was a ball. Had a great time. Great show. First time ever in 16 years of doing the DEMA show that I've ever seen a Playboy Playmate at the DEMA show, not only exhibiting her wares, which was a bonus.
She had Miss May, baby.
2012, Nikki Lee, Nikki Lay, depending on how you say it, tomato, tomato. But Nikki was awesome.
Yeah, baby.
And you got to go back and listen to the interview. She, you know, she said she wanted to learn how to dive. She was actually exhibiting this glow tube device, which was like a nightstick type thing, electronic glow stick type thing. And I assume you use it for diving. Glow Tube was the name of the product. And when I heard
wow,
the name of the...
that's hard.
That, when I heard it, I thought, are you sure you're supposed to use this for diving? Is this some other Playboy product type thing that maybe has multiple uses?
Well, she's
probably
a long-time diver. She's probably been diving thousands of times in night dives. She saw a need. She saw a niche. And she decided to fill it. Am I right?
Well, not exactly. This stick, I guess they use it for wakeboarding and boogie boarding and other, I don't know, snowboards or something. So when they want to go snowboarding at night, and then they've decided to transfer it over to the dive industry. So she was there. She is a spokesperson and part owner in the Glow Tube franchise or company. And she's gotten a ton of publicity just because she is Miss May 2012 from Playboy.
Wow.
And she was nice. Very nice girl. And she wants to learn how to dive. And of course... it just so happens, not only am I Greg the Dive Master, I'm Greg the Dive Instructor, and I alerted her to, what is that? Is that the hotline? What is that?
It's just a warning, just in case she's listening.
Oh, okay. Well, for what it's worth, you know, I said, well, you just let me know when you want to get certified to dive, and of course, she promptly turned around and left. Didn't give me her contact info or nothing. But she said she was going to be in Florida in January, so we'll see if Nikki Lee... indeed, lives up to the expectations of the world and lets me certify her to scuba dive.
Thank you. Excellent job.
Okay. I'm just doing my part to grow this industry. Among other things.
Something.
Hello! Hey! We'll be here all week. Help yourself to the hot and cold salad bar. All right. So, we got a ton of stuff to cover today. We're going to talk about giving the gift of scuba. It is that time of year when you have to fight the crowds at the mall. You got to, you know, deal with various levels of road rage in a parking lot and that kind of thing. Or you could just shuck it all and give the gift of scuba. Go out there to your local dive center and pick up a gift certificate for scuba lessons. Give it to Miss Playboy and, you know, it's the same kind of thing. Or maybe it's just a friend.
Okay? Sounds practically the same to me.
Yes, but giving the gift of scuba is the perfect gift. It always fits. You don't have to worry about sizes. Colors, one size fits all kind of thing. And you go into your local dive center, get a gift certificate for an open water diver class. Patty, now SSI, you pick your agency, doesn't matter. Just go into your local dive center and give the gift of scuba.
It's a great day to do that. Small Business Saturday.
True.
Go to your local small business.
Right.
And trust me, a lot of these dive centers are particularly small businesses.
Well, this is true. But it really is a great gift, and it's a gift that keeps on giving. And who knows, maybe you'll have recruited a future dive buddy for your own underwater adventures. So, you know, we're here to remind you to do that if you haven't thought about it already. Because it is one of those things where, you know, divers, we tend to overlook this, how much fun we have doing the scuba diving thing, and forget about all these landlubbers that might want to give this a try as well. And you know, this is the season to kind of recruit them in and get a really, really nice gift for them. Now, beyond that, you can give the gift of scuba with a bunch of other products and ideas that we're going to share with you over the next few weeks, starting today, being that it is Thanksgiving. Hello. And we're going to share a few of those ideas with you. But first, let's talk to our very own Mermaid Bond girl. You know, we released a video at scubaradio.com this week of the new Scuba Cowboy video going down, and it prominently features Mermaid Lizzie, who is also in Vegas with us on right now, and which is on, she's on the line right now from, I believe, is it rehab? Or are we calling you from rehab or what there, Lizzie? How are you?
I'm going to be honest. I'm still recovering from our 8 days in Vegas.
Yes, it was. You know, that was one of the longest stints even I've had in Vegas over the years. And, you know, Vegas has a tendency to take its toll on us divers, let alone, you know, mere mortals like Lizzie here, who had never been to Vegas before until Dima last week. So but I will say, as a witness to your adventure there, Lizzie, not only did you have a great time at the Dima show, I think you really, in those 8 days, tried to condense every Vegas experience you could have done. It was kind of like watching The Hangover Part 1 and 2. You hear what I'm saying there, Lizzie?
I hear what you're saying. It was definitely eventful, to say the least. And as you know, I pretty much peaked night one and just kind of went from there after that. So it was certainly an experience. I'm pretty sure I lived the hangover.
Yes, well, as we all did. And we, I guess part of that, we need to thank Steve-O from Voli Voli Resort, or blame him, depending
blame.
On...
Blame. I blame him.
Yes. Steve-O was in rare form in Vegas, and he brought a little of his Fijian magic over to pretty much do in our entire crew for the first day of Dima. But God bless him for it. And thank God we won't see him for a while to be able to recover. But it was a great time. We had a great time out there. It was an awesome show, don't you think? Did you enjoy it, Lizzie?
Yeah, from what I experienced. I missed a few early mornings there, but the afternoons were definitely a good time.
Yeah, well, our theme in the morning was party like a rock star. And I think, you know, it's one of those things, you have to be in character. And I think our entire Scuba Radio crew was definitely in character for the entire 8 days. And it took a toll on us. There's no doubt. But it was good. It was good fun, good clean fun. And we had a great time talking to a lot of folks out there at the Dima show and just having a ball.
And in fact, we were able to speak to one of the Scuba Radio crew members.
Yeah.
Early on the fourth day.
Fourth
Dima,
day.
And
fourth.
This is actual audio.
Really? What? I didn't
hear. I ain't going to lead to anywhere but bad places.
That sounded like Ozzy, actually.
That's what happens early in the morning.
You know, that could have been me, actually, because I kind of started sounding like Ozzy. I couldn't put two words.
I ain't going to lead to anywhere but bad places.
Yeah, exactly. Sharon! I think I was yelling that, actually, about the fourth day. And I didn't even know who Sharon was. But you know, we had a good time. It was a great event, and I'm glad you were there, Lizzie. And you know, we'll talk about this a little bit more. But let's get to the business at hand, because this week when I got back right before Dima, I'd put the finishing touches on the Scuba Cowboys new video Going Down that we shot in the Turks and Caicos. And the crew got to see a little preview of this at the Dima show, and we just released it this week at scubaradio.com. It's already getting rave reviews, and Lizzie has definitely earned her nickname for Scuba Radio as Legs. It was kind of like you know, we talked about this in the Turks and Caicos, but I think it's definitely stuck now that the video is out there. You hear what I'm saying, Lizzie? Are you getting this from your friends, too?
Yeah, I actually got a call from one of our Turks and Caicos crew members today saying that they saw the video and they really liked it. So I'm even getting phone calls at this point.
Yes, well, yeah, as you should, because, you know, and we tied, there's a shot in the video through Lizzie's legs, kind of like the James Bond thing, okay?
That's, oh, wait a second. So what? People saw this shot through her legs where nothing's visible on Lizzie except for her legs, and people called and said, I saw you in the video.
Yeah, because they are very identified. They're iconic legs. And you can see this. It's great. We'll talk to her a little bit more about this after the break. I'm telling you, mermaid legs or leggy. Mermaid leggy? I don't know.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry and at an affordable price. Go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
I'm not actually the diver. I'm the pump man. I have a friend who does the diving.
Is your friend experienced?
Well, he's been underwater half his life. He used to be a lifeguard in a car wash.
So dive, dive, dive. When twisted up inside, don't come up to fill your cup or you make it to the other side. Dive, dive, dive. Let your conscience be your guide. Life's a mess and there's too much stress. You gotta take it all in stride.
That is the Scuba Cowboy. We're going to talk to him in just a bit. But first, we got to finish up with legs, which is kind of awkward because this is Mermaid Lizzie. She's a mermaid. She doesn't have legs. But she was showcasing her legs in this video going down that we just released at scubaradio.com. You can check it out on the video page or just go to the fan page of Scuba Radio on Facebook. It's listed there as well. And I don't know, you know, Bond, you know, this new Bond film's like the biggest grossing movie of all time. I wonder if this video could end up giving the movie a run for its money. What do you think, Lizzie? Or at least maybe it'll be one of our top rated videos. I'm thinking it might. Are you feeling
it? I don't know about that, but you know, I don't know if you know this, but I sent it to my parents just to get some feedback, see what they'd say, and they actually loved it.
They loved it. Good. I thought I was going to have to hire security again. Daggone it. Well, that's good. I'm glad they liked it. You know, it's tastefully done like a Bond film. So it sounds, you know, kind of strange in a way. But it, you know, it was all pups doing. I just did what the director told me to do. And got in there and got the shot. And it actually turned out pretty good. I was surprised how well it looks. And I'm happy with the video. Pub likes the video. Everybody that you've heard from so far seems to like it so much, right? Or like it quite
a
bit.
Seems to be a hit.
It seems to be a hit. You know, our highest ranking video to this point has been the manatee video, Bill. So it's like, you know, legs, like a Bond type
thing. I'm in that video, Lizzie. I'm in that video. Uh-oh. It's kind of like a Where's Waldo thing, though, because I'm there and they're saying, hey, which one's Bill and which one's the manatee? Which one's Bill? Which one's the manatee?
Yeah, are there hairy legs in the manatee video? There could be. It could be our viewers, our listeners here at Scuba Radio have a thing, you know, they're leg folks, I guess, maybe. I don't know. We will have to find out if Bill's hairy legs and back kind of hold on to the number one spot, or mermaid legs, as we're starting to think that's what we're going to have to call her, is going to outdo them. So we will have to see. But when you watch the video, all you can do is give thanks. And this is the weekend for it, I guess. Right, Lizzie? And by the way, for the record, yeah, you don't work out. This is just all natural genes, and that's probably why your parents are so proud, I guess, right?
Probably, yeah.
Nice. All right, so now that you've dried out, what's next? You're doing some diving this week, aren't you? Or getting ready to take a bunch of people down to the Keys?
Yeah, this weekend we're going to head down to the Keys and do some open water and advanced checkout dives. So I'll be there for a little while and getting back in the water, getting my fin back, so to speak.
Getting your fin on. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, yeah. I just wonder now. Everybody's going to come up to you and say, hey, you're a mermaid. You're a Scuba Radio mermaid. Can I get my picture with a mermaid? Or you think they're now going to go, hey, can I get a picture of your legs? What's going on? You're going to have quite a dilemma, I have a feeling.
They might want the exact shot that you took, which is the only problem. So.
Yes. Yeah.
I may have to figure something out.
I think you definitely should start charging for it, because it's it's been exploited enough. Now it's time to start to make some money on that. On that little attribute you have, or two of them,
yeah,
I guess. Right.
Maybe so.
Yes. All right, legs. Well, I'll let you get back to it. Thanks for sharing those for the video. I know Pup is very gracious, and he should be. It's Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving, right? So it's all in the spirit of the season, right?
Exactly.
That's what I'm sticking to if your parents call me, okay?
All right.
All right, Lizzie. Take care.
You too. Thanks, Greg.
There you go. Mermaid legs, Lizzie, I don't know, whatever you want to call her. Leggy, we'll find out. But the Scuba Cowboy's on the line, and, if her parents come after me, I'm just sending them to you. How you doing there, pup?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic, as always.
So have you recovered from the DEMA show? We had a big old time out there last week, you think?
We had a fantastic time, and as you know, half the crew started it just like you told us to, party like a rock star, man.
That's
private
right.
Jet out to Vegas. Don't
it is.
Much more partying than that.
Yeah, Bill, check this out. So, I fly commercial. I go out there to Vegas, and we have this party like a rock star thing because they're having a party at the Hard Rock Cafe for the DEMA awards party Friday night. So in the morning, instead of the mermaids, music, and mayhem, we save that for the Bahamas in the afternoon. And in the morning, we had the wigs, we had the sunglasses, we were partying, we had this whole thing. But Pump and Mermaid Tiffany fly out in a private jet, stay, their friend has what, a penthouse suite at, where was it? Mandalay? Which one? MGM, that's right.
MGM, the Skyloft.
Yeah.
Skyloft
and so they fly in on a private plane. I'm like, well, what happened here? I'm supposed to be the guy who gets to stay in character, not these. Anyway, I didn't even get invited. That's not fair, Pop.
Because remember, the original plan was you were going to meet us in Denver. If you would have met us in Denver,
we could have
done
that.
You would have been on that party plane with us.
Yeah,
yeah. We partied like rock stars all the way out there.
Well, that's true. And the rate that we went, if I would have took it up a notch from where we were already, I'd be dead. So it's probably
you would have been. I don't think you would have been able to open the show at that point.
Yeah. So it was probably just as well.
I had to break in the new mermaids. I had to get them accustomed to what they could expect once they got there and were in the presence of Greg the Dive Master.
Well, okay, fair enough. You had to lay the groundwork.
I had to kind of break them in and say, okay, this is what it's going to be like.
Yes.
Let's take a private jet, party our hind ends off on the way out there, and that's about what it's like hanging around Greg.
And that would be Aspen and Marianne, who came into the pod at Vegas for the first time. They fit into our group quite well. And they were great gals. And you know what was funny? We had about eight girls. And, Bill, you'll appreciate this because, you know,
I won't appreciate it because it was in Las Vegas and I was in Florida, well, and my wife's listening.
We had eight mermaids. And the first day we had eight. The second day we had one. And then the third day we had three. And the last day we got it back up to about four. So, you know,
yeah.
But that's how it goes in Vegas. That's why you have to start with big numbers. We're always looking to grow the pod, and thank goodness that Tiffany brought her friends along, Aspen and Marianne, to kind of fill in. But it was a great time. We had a good time. What about this video, Pup? You know, Legs did her part. Obviously, you have a great song there, Going Down, that is being released. You played a few of the tunes last week in the Bahamas Isle for Happy Hour. That went over real well. And the CD is going to ship here. Hopefully, is it already? You can buy it just in time for the holidays. Is that the deal, or what?
Yes, you can. It's actually it's off right now, being manufactured, and it will ship on the 14th of December. So it'll be in time for the holidays.
There you go. 14th of December. Go to thescubacowboy.com. Thescubacowboy.com. Order it today, and there you go. You're given the gift of scuba music, among other things. We got many more suggestions for you next. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. You know, we're having so much fun. Unfortunately, everything isn't great out there right now. And I got wind of a little story right before we went on the air today. John is on Scuba Radio. His dial-up 888-88-SCUBA. John, how are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
You're today? Doing good under the circumstances. Even though it's Thanksgiving weekend, you're down there in South Florida. We've dove together before. Your Barry's Bug down there. We've done some beach diving together. Now, what happened? Someone stole your gear? What's the deal?
Yeah. What happened was Barry and I, we during the lobster season, we go out every weekend, you know, off the beach, and usually catch our quota. We've been doing really good, and Friday I'm going, you know, getting up at 5:30 in the morning to go to work. Excited to go diving on Saturday with Barry, and I walked out onto my porch, and all my dive gear, I store everything on my porch in a like a closed shed with a lock on it, and somebody put the lock, and they went in and busted in and took everything, every single piece of equipment I owned.
Wow. So what brand of gear are we talking about? They took BC, reg, computer, the whole spiel.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I was doing was I'm a paddy dive master, so when I started off diving, I was kind of teaching and dive master on the boat, so I didn't just have one set of equipment, you know?
Right.
And my stuff that I dive with is all dive right. So I have dive right BCs and dive right tanks and dive right regs and everything, and then of course a lot of stuff. I mean, they even took my skin, my dive skin and my wetsuit, my tanks, everything, snorkel, mask, fins. I couldn't believe it.
All right, so there you go. You got a description of what got taken in South Florida. If it shows up, you know, on Craigslist down there, keep an eye out. We're going to help John out. We're going to get him hooked up with some new stuff. Because it's Thanksgiving weekend. I have a few connections, so we'll take care of him. But keep an eye out for that. It's not the spirit of Christmas or Thanksgiving. It's about giving. And giving the gift of scuba, not stealing it. Come on!
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
For tip number 589. For the last time.
Wilma!
Tell your wife that sailfish are not a bargain.
Charge!
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the Rio Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And in the studio, we have Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. We're going to the dark side today, right, Nick?
We are indeed, Greg. I thought we'd talk about some night diving tips.
Night diving is pretty cool.
There's little else like it. It never ceases to amaze me how a sight you know intimately by day can totally transform at night.
And the critters that come out, I always wonder where they hide when the sun's out.
I know. They're probably hiding from divers like us.
Well, they're missing out. Good thing we're not afraid of the dark, right? I mean, night diving is a great way to dive, but like so many other types of diving, it does have special considerations that come with it, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
So why don't we start with gear? Surely there's something to consider there.
Well, for the most part, you'll need the same gear you use during the day. But if you're expecting to be colder after the sun goes down, you'll want to adjust your exposure protection accordingly. And of course, there's one piece of gear you'll want to add.
Unless you can see in the dark.
Which most of us can't. So plan to take some lights.
Wait, lights as in plural?
Lights as in plural. For starters, most divers attach a signal light to their tank or regulator yoke. This helps other divers to see and identify them underwater. Most folks use either a tank light or chem light stick for this purpose.
Is there a big difference between the two?
Not really. It's just that chemical light stick is a single-use item, whereas the battery-powered light you can use over and over again.
How about marker lights?
Marker lights, or strobe lights, are usually used to mark key navigation points like anchor lines or reference lines, or to mark entry and exit points. If you're diving with a charter operation or participating in a lead dive, the operation or dive leader usually sets these.
How about the dive lights each diver carries?
Each diver should have at least two dive lights with him. One to use as a primary, and one to have as a backup in case, well, the primary should fail.
What kind of dive light should you use?
Like every other piece of gear, there are multiple options available. Every diver will have a preference, and it's important to find the ones that work for you.
How about head-mounted versus handheld?
Again, that's a matter of preference, but one advantage the handheld light has is that they offer a great versatility in terms of positioning, and they're easy to control. This can be beneficial if you're new to night diving.
So aside from gear, what other safety considerations do you have to take into account when night diving?
I think orientation is the biggest one, but that covers a lot of ground. It's common practice not to dive a sight for the first time at night because even the most familiar sight will look different after sundown. Take extra time and care to orient yourself. Take note of marker lights so you know in which direction you're swimming from relative to your reference point. You may even take a compass heading so you have a general direction in case you get disoriented.
How about buoyancy control?
Even that's different at night, and you need to take special care to keep track of it. It's much easier to become disoriented at night because your field of vision is so much more limited. You have no peripheral vision. It's easy to lose track of your depth or where you are in relation to things like reefs, wrecks, and other things underwater, or even the surface. Keep an eye on your depth and where you are in relation to your surroundings.
Is there any particular etiquette to observe when night diving?
Yeah, I'd say that falls into two general areas, the first of which pertains to your dive light.
Rule number one, don't blind your buddy.
Absolutely. None of us can see very well when we have light shine directly in our eyes on land, and that's no different underwater.
It's amazing what a natural tendency it is to shine your light in someone's face, though.
Sure it is. A lot of your communication relies on facial expressions and reactions. But learning to use your light as a source and form of communication underwater is all part of learning to night dive.
How do you mean?
Well, for example, you can use your light to convey underwater signals like okay, or to get someone's attention, or to make a sign of distress. Similarly, when you get your buddy's attention and you want to follow up with a hand signal, shine your light down and convey the signal in the light's beam. It'll be easy to see, and your buddy will be able to see it.
You can also use your light if you get lost or separated, can't you?
You sure can. Sometimes times, if you get separated from your buddy or group, it's hard to see them because of your own light. If that happens, hold your light against you. Don't turn it off, because it'll dim the light enough to allow you to see other lights in the water.
Does that really work?
It sure does.
Voice of experience.
Yep.
So what's the second area of etiquette?
Well, that one really pertains to the creatures you'll encounter. There are some truly amazing creatures that come out at night. But remember that unlike the creatures you see during the day, the natural light level is darkness. Your light is not natural. Try not to spook them too much.
And I'd say be careful not to blind them either.
Exactly. Remember that just as you are blinded when the light has shined in your eyes, so too are they. And in some cases, blinding them with a light or camera strobe can leave them vulnerable. So be aware and careful of that.
And this is where your buoyancy tip comes in again, because there's a lot of creatures that come out at night, aren't there?
You're absolutely right. And that makes bumping against a reef especially hazardous at night, both to you and the nocturnal creatures that inhabit it.
There's a lot to learn about night diving.
There is a lot to learn. And while we've covered some basic tips, it's definitely worth your time to take a specialty class to learn more about it. It's a fascinating and fantastic way to dive, but it's important to know what you're doing and how to do it right.
The world you come to know underwater can become a whole new world at night. But before you jump in to explore it, learn about the special considerations you need to know to stay safe. We know you're not afraid of the dark. Just make sure you know how to traverse it. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
And of course, the Dan membership makes the perfect gift for the scuba diver on your list as well. There's another gift idea when you're looking to give the gift of scuba. But how about some other stuff? All right, so this is always a great time of year that I pick up a read or two. I have a little bit more downtime during the holidays, and I do read if there's a few pictures in there, mixed in there, you know, but, and, you know, and I'll actually...
You folded over the third page of this book to indicate you'd gotten this far.
No, that's not true. That was just, I was just marking a point of interest.
Okay, then.
Yeah, I was. Actually, you know who turned me on to this was our buddy from Dan. Dan Orr mentioned this book, Sea Lab, by Ben Hellworth, when I was on the boat, on the Turks and Caicos boat with him. And Ben is on Scuba Radio right now. Ben, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Good to be on.
All right, so the name of the book is Sea Lab, and divers will find this of interest because it basically chronicles the infancy of underwater habitats, right? Is that in a nutshell?
Yeah, the subtitle of the book is America's Forgotten Quest to Live and Work on the Ocean Floor. It was the late 50s, early 60s, and in the same sort of frame of mind as the space program, there was a group in the U.S. Navy who was thinking that if we were going to be equipped to land on the moon, we ought to be equally well equipped to not only dive deeper, but stay longer in the ocean, on the ocean floor, and be able to actually set up little bases from which divers could come and go at any time of day or night. As you were just talking about night diving, then that would be another option.
Sure. In the immortal words of our president, we should try and find out what's under Chappaquiddick Bridge before the end of this decade.
No, I don't
exactly.
think that. Well, maybe, but I don't think that was the goal of Sea Lab and its initial...
Well, actually, President Kennedy did make a statement about getting to know the oceans better that didn't quite catch on, like the one he made about landing a man on the moon by the end of the decade. But
yeah,
I really like calamari.
No, that's just, that isn't what he was talking about. But you know the thing, yeah, it's like the Sea Lab program, the underwater program, was like the Rodney Dangerfield of exploration. You know, they got no respect, yet they did some pretty crazy things. And unfortunately, we know about Neil Armstrong, but we don't know about, the main pioneer of Sea Lab. His name again, I think I had it marked on page 3. What was his name again there? Help me out there, Ben.
Well, the father of Sea Lab is considered to be a Navy Captain George Bond, is his
George
name.
George Bond.
Bond.
Not Bond.
George Bond.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
A strange similarity to James Bond and a guy who had much the same fearless spirit of adventure. And was the driving force behind Sea Lab, a kind of a larger-than-life character who you get to meet
right.
I like my dive tanks shaken, not stirred.
Well, he did some. He did some crazy
stuff.
I think
he actually said that.
Yeah, well, I bet he did. Yeah, I remember reading a little bit about that. The main thing I caught in the beginning of the book, you talk about how he tested one of his theories about escaping a submarine. Because that was one of the pioneer things that they were trying to figure out, how far, how deep, how long we could go. And one of the problems is the first submariners, you know, if they had a problem where their submarine went down, the crew were pretty much, they were done because they had no way to escape. And he was one of the first people who came up with the idea of like, hey, you could actually leave the surface at 300 feet and make it, or leave the bottom at 300 feet and make it on a breath of air. And we'll talk more about this next. Take care.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact K7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
You mean they were only scuba divers?
Professional sea scavengers. This pony head hid the scuba mask. The fin on the back concealed a scuba tube. The flippers on the feet actually help them swim faster.
Ben Hellworth is our guest right now. He's the author of Sea Lab. This could be a really nice gift for the diver on your list, or just anyone who has a passing interest in the pioneering spirit of underwater habitats, like what we have down in Key Largo today, the Aquarius Project. That's kind of like what we have as a result of the Sea Lab experience back in the 50s, right, Ben? I got it right?
Aquarius is definitely a descendant of Sea Lab, which got going in the 60s, actually. The early lab experiments were in the 50s, and just like in space, they started out, Dr. Bond had a Navy laboratory who was able to start some simulations with animals, and then with some brave human volunteers who you meet in the book, to see if it was really going to be possible to endure the prolonged pressure and sort of artificial atmospheres that divers would have to be breathing if they were going to be living in sea bases for any amount of time.
Yeah.
So once that got worked out, it was time to take what they had learned in the lab out to sea with the very first actual sea lab experiment.
George Bond, the pioneer or the founder of the C-Lab project, or the father of the C-Lab project, like you identify him there in the book. He had these theories. He was a doctor, I guess, and he had these theories, but you had to test them. Like I said, they had animals and stuff, but it kind of came to the point where he had to, figure out if this really was going to work, and he decided, well, I'll do it myself. Is that kind of what happened?
Right, yeah. Well, what Dr. Bond came along, the diving conventions of the day and the decompression tables were very much limited. As people know, there you couldn't dive particularly deep, and even if you did, you couldn't stay very long. It was a matter of minutes on the deeper dives, and then you get into problems with narcosis and everything else. So there were these questions that Dr. Bond had to address to see if it was really going to be possible to do what he thought in the dawn of the space age seemed possible or reasonable, which was to not only dive deeper, but once you got to a particular depth of several hundred feet or more, was to be able to stay more than a few minutes, for goodness sakes. You'd want to stay as long as you could to do whatever kind of work you wanted to do, whether it was military in the case of the Navy, industrial, or scientific research.
And in the words of our famous president, John F. Kennedy,
who is
known to have said, it is better down where it's wetter.
That is where I got that quote from.
Yeah,
it was either him or Sebastian the Crab from The Little Mermaid. I can't really remember.
people do confuse them sometimes.
Yes, but, don't they?
But their spirit was very much the same, though. And Kennedy did speak of a need to enhance our ocean exploration efforts. And who knows? Maybe if he'd been around longer, that
it would have happened. Yeah. Now tell me, Ben. Obviously, I haven't read the whole book yet. I just got it. It came in the mail yesterday, and it's definitely interesting. The first few pages grabs you. And you love a book like this. It'll be a great read, like I said, for any diver, anyone has a passing interest in this type of historical context. But what happened? I mean, the movie The Abyss by James Cameron was actually the movie that I watched back in the day that inspired me to be a diver. I saw that movie and I want to go there. Now, years later, I realized it was all done on a soundstage. They weren't even underwater for some of these scenes. But, I remember those scenes where they're on this underwater habitat deep in on the ocean floor. And, that seems to have been that just hasn't happened. That whole thing has kind of disappeared. And I know you address that in the book, like our exploration in space continues to this day. They kind of abandoned this project back in the day because of a controversial type of story or what? What can you share with me that's in the book that wouldn't give away the whole story?
Yes, yes, no spoilers, of course, but
yeah.
No, there is George Bond does manage to with a certain amount of prodding manages to get the C-Lab program going with the help of some divers and scientists who are around him and who believe like he does that this type of project should go forward, that they should be able to demonstrate this ability to set up a base and have safely housed divers in a dry shelter that's pressurized to the same to match the pressure at the depth where they are, and that keeps the water out, and then they can come and go from an open hatch whenever they please. Just
right.
Put on their gear, and off they go.
Yeah.
But at the time, that was much more easily said than done. And basically, what we're talking about here is the development of saturation diving, which some people may be familiar with, which is the capability that grew out of this C-Lab programs and is still with us at bases like Aquarius that you mentioned, the scientific research base off the coast of Florida, and also saturation diving is alive and well in the offshore oil fields where people are working at great depths for a great number of hours.
Sure. Commercial diving,
commercial diving. So the program gets off to a kind of low-key start, low-budget, almost kind of humorous. Astronaut Scott Carpenter actually got involved with the C-Lab program because he was interested in what they were doing, and he used to marvel, and he told me, how he marveled at just, how much they were getting done with considering how little money they were given to do it.
Right.
But they got more as the program went along, and C-Lab 2 off the coast of Bermuda yielded to C-Lab 2 off the coast of Southern California, where they were working for longer and deeper, colder conditions, and And things were actually going quite well to where SeaLab 3 came along, and they were actually going to, this thing was put at 600 feet, if you can imagine that. Still a
wow.
substantial dive.
Yeah.
Even by today's standards, and this is 1969, a few months before the moon landing, so they're, you know, they're really making some great headway. But as you read in the book, a number of things went wrong, and there was a tragic accident that wound up becoming the catalyst for the premature end of the program, as you mentioned.
Yeah, and it was very controversial. You know, there's intrigue, there's mystery, it's all in there. SeaLab is the name of the book. It's by Ben Hellworth. Get it, pick it up at you know, all these online things, Amazon. It's out there. SeaLab, pick it up. Another great gift for the scuba diving season, or for the scuba diver on your list. More coming up in hour two. Stay close.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.